Chapter 69. Pitt and Giordino had been hovering over the ship's bell when they received a brief transmission from Dahlgren that the narwhal was moving off site. Preoccupied with uncovering the bell's inscription, they had not followed up the call. The discovery that the shipwreck was the Terror proved to be a small relief for Pitt. With no indication that there was any ruthenium aboard, there was still room for hope. The Inuit must have obtained the ore from the Erebus, and perhaps she alone held the secret to the coveted mineral. The question lingered as to where had the Erebus ended up. The two ships were known to have been abandoned together, so presumably they would have sunk close to one another. Pitt felt confident that expanding the AUV's search area would turn up the second ship. "Bloodhound and Narwhal, we're beginning our ascent," Giordino radioed. "What's your status?" "We're on the move at the moment. I'm trying to get an update from the bridge. We'll let you know when I do. Over." It was the last they were to hear from Dahlgren. But having extended their bottom time, they were more concerned about reaching the surface with auxiliary power to spare. Pitt shut off the external lights and sensing equipment to save power, while Giordino did the same with the non-essential interior computers. As the submersible fell dark and they began gliding upward, Giordino sat back in his chair, crossed his arms, and closed his eyes. "Wake me when it's time to let in some fresh 10 below air," he muttered. "I'll make sure that Jack has your slippers and newspaper waiting." Pitt again reviewed the electrical power readings with a wary eye. There was plenty of reserve power for the life support systems and the ballast control pumps, but little else. He reluctantly shut down the submersible's propulsion system, knowing they would be subject to the strong currents during their ascent. Plugging the narwhal's moon pool would be out, as they would likely end up a mile or two down current when they broke the surface. And that's only if the narwhal was back on sight. Pitt shut down a few more electrical controls, then stared out at the black abyss beyond the viewport. Suddenly, an urgent cry rang out on the radio. "Bloodhound! We've been—" The transmission was cut mid-sentence and was followed by complete silence. Giordino popped forward in his chair and was returning the call even before he had his eyes open. Despite the repeated attempts, his transmissions to the narwhal went unanswered. "We might have lost their signal in a thermocline," Giordino offered.
"Or they lost their communications antenna while running at speed," Pitt countered.
They were manufactured excuses to reason away the truth neither man wanted to accept, that the narwhal was in real trouble. Giordino continued making radio calls every few minutes, but there was no response, and there was nothing either man could do about it. Pitt looked at the submersible's depth gauge and wondered if they were tied to the bottom. Since receiving the interrupted call, their ascent rate had slowed to a crawl, or so it seemed to Pitt. He tried to keep his eyes away from the gauge, knowing the more he watched it, the slower it moved. Sitting back, he closed his eyes for a time, imagining the troubles the narwhal might be facing, while Giordino diligently kept up his radio vigil. He finally opened his eyes to see they were just over 100 feet deep. A few minutes later, they rocked to the surface amid a rush of bubbles and foam. Pitt kicked on the external lights, which simply reflected back a surrounding billow of fog. The radio remained silent as they rocked back and forth in the heaving waters. Alone in a cold and empty sea, Pitt and Giordino both knew that the worst had happened. The narwhal was no more.